All boats are aligned. Attention.
Welcome back to the Weigh Enough Rowing Podcast. We're your hosts and masters of ceremonies, the short and snarky coxswains. I am Sam, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Kate.
Thanks, Sam. So if you don't follow us already, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Get on it now. Short and snarky rowing. And we also have to remind everyone, this is the time of the year we're coming up on sprint season.
Yes.
And if your coxswains do not have a copy of our book, The Short and Snarky Guide to Rowing.
The Bible.
Yeah. You need to get it on Amazon. This will get your coxswains up to speed for the spring. And when I'm coaching, I always love to give a copy to my coxswains because then I have less to deal with them.
And also, it's nice to just randomly receive a gift. So if you're just like, hey, you know what? I'm in the spirit of giving today. Sure, it's March or April. Gift for you. People might get you a gift in return, and it might be better, or I don't know.
I don't know what could be better, but...
No, nothing could be better.
All right, so what have we got for our news story today?
All right, our news story today, I'm sure everyone has seen it, but I just wanted to bring it up today. Get Ripped with Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk.
So... Gronk's got a 20-minute workout, okay? He has found it, ladies and gentlemen. He has found the secret to
success.
What's it
called?
It's just Get Ripped with Rob Gronkowski's
20-minute. Get Ripped.
Yeah, Get Ripped with Rob Gronkowski's 20-minute rowing workout, okay? Right. It rolls off the tongue. There's a video that goes with it, but I just want to really set this up, okay? It is brilliant. It is genius. It is earth-shattering. He has found the perfect rowing workout, okay?
I can't wait to hear what this is.
He's found it. He's found the perfect rowing workout. He's the Gronk. He knows everything about fitness and everything
about rowing.
Yeah. So we will watch the video. It's only 45 seconds long. So, you know, just kind of keep in there. And by the way, it is just epic. I mean, oh my God.
I can't wait to hear what this workout's going to be.
Oh, it's going to be great. You can't wait.
I like the music.
80s music.
Smoothness and brains. Fighting against the water makes it a great workout. Not just a cardio workout you're getting at the same time, but you're building muscle.
You're building muscle.
Your leg, like push off, your back, your biceps. Ooh. You're just getting a full body workout without putting any resistance on your joints, which is super good for your body. And
super good.
And dumb. And also, it was made in America, just like these guns, baby.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen the video, he is flexing when he talks about the guns that were made in America.
Well, because the water rower is made in America. So, apparently, this is the Get Ripped with Ron Gronkowski. It's the Gronk Fitness Water Rower.
Okay. Special edition.
It's available online.
Of course.
It is $1,905 online, mm-hmm. So you can pick it up, no problem.
Pocket change,
chump
so
change.
So what is this amazing 20-minute workout?
Okay, the 20-minute workout, okay? So obviously, he talks about how it's cardio, but it also helps you build muscle, mm-hmm. Okay? Are you ready for this?
Yeah, what is it?
1 minute on, 1 minute off for 20 minutes.
So that's the secret, huh?
That is the secret, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, we have uncovered it. I know that we made a post on Instagram not too long ago. It was like toughest erg workouts. All of your workouts that you guys did on there, only 181 of them, garbage. 1 minute on, 1 minute
That's
off.
That's all you need, 20 That's minutes. Need. Well, I'm ready to get ripped.
I'm going to get ripped like Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But I mean, I really wanted the Hulk Hogan song to come on after because he's like, it's made in America, just like these guns. And then I wanted to be like, I am a real American.
Yeah. So anyway, there you have it. That is the secret to rowing. 1 minute on, 1 minute off for 20 minutes.
That is the secret to rowing.
That's all you need to do.
I know. So today's guest is actually going to be a little bit different. We've got Patrick Rufo, and he will be with us. He is with RufoOptimalWorkouts.com. And what he does is he is like a strength and conditioning coach, but not only does he try to, you know, train you and perfect your technique and make sure that you're not hurting yourself and killing yourself. But he also tries to coach you on how to be a coach, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I think.
So Sam and I did our little, so he asked us we got a little sample trial here and we did our.
Yeah, we got to do an assessment.
Yeah. So it was a little online assessment, took about maybe 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, and you can do it all online. And I think that the toughest part about it was like, because, you know, it was asking you like what your preferences are, like what are you most like or what are you not most like? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I'm like all of those. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I think that was the toughest part of that.
So our profiles came back, and interestingly, or maybe unsurprisingly, our profiles are pretty similar to one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're both Ds bordering on Is, which D is very assertive and I is very persuasive. So
yeah, I think that mine was a high I and a low D, and I think yours was the high D and the low I. So we together are did.
Yeah, D or
did. So. I think that, you know, one of the traits that I kind of gleaned through this, it was like through, for the I, high I, it says through fluent verbal skills, you're able to gain the support of a variety of styles of people.
So that sounds like something a coxswain would probably want to have.
Absolutely. And then I love the next sentence. It says, those who score like you are prepared at a moment's notice to speak at length on almost any topic, even a topic in which they know very little. So what does that say about me?
Coxswain.
I like to blow lots of hot air. I could be a coxswain or a politician. I have no idea.
Perfect.
I could be anything.
Perfect. Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And so we did this online. And so Patrick offers these services for everyone. So, you know, we can get you the address at the end, and you can.
And he also goes through at length with you, like he says, you know, how you can use your strengths to your advantage, and how you can kind of, you know, put your weaknesses on the back burner to where they're not kind of at the forefront. But I really like how it's the assessment itself after you print it out, it's like 44 pages or something like that. But I mean, it really breaks it down for you and it makes it readable for something. So you're not looking at this and you're like, oh my God, I need a Harvard degree just to get through this. You know, it makes it really readable. And, you know, I do love that on the overview of the four basic DISC styles, it tells me that a growth area is that I'm impatient, insensitive to others, and a poor listener. And for that, everyone, I am sorry. I am very sorry.
I think I have those exact same things online. So
but that's why we have a podcast listeners. Where we can just talk to people and they just listen to us and we don't have to actually interact.
Definitely. All right, well, we should get Patrick on the phone here.
Absolutely. Let's get Patrick on the phone.
Find out what their strengths are. So there are four letters, four behavior styles. It's a behavior profile. And each of them has to do with something that you have something to a certain degree. So the four letters are D, I, S, and C. D stands for dominance. So it's how you approach tasks. So if you are a very high D, and high doesn't mean good or bad, then you are going to kind of approach tasks. So if we're talking about practice, you know, if coach says, hey, we're going to go out on the water, you know, as a coxswain, you'd say, okay, get the boat, you know, go get the boat. Whereas people who have a low D might kind of stop and say, well, what's the workout? What's the stroke rate? And so each athlete or each coxswain is going to kind of approach tasks differently.
Okay.
I stands for how you interact with people. So if you're a high I, then you are very interactive with people. You want to be talking to people and kind of finding out about their lives, which I think both of you like to do while you're doing the show. but if you're a low I, it's not that you don't want to find out about your teammates. It's just that maybe at practice you're more focused on the workout and you don't really want to talk. So, you know, I know when I work out, I don't really want to talk to anybody. But as a coach, I'm a lot different. I'm a high I as a coach, and so I want to actually find out what my athletes are thinking.
Yeah.
S, it has to do with how you approach the pace of your task. So again, if we're doing ERG tests, you know, if I was a high S, then I would follow a race plan, you know, exactly to the T. I'm going to go at this split for this amount of time. If I'm a low S, I'm not going to really have a race plan. I'm just going to kind of go by how I feel. And then finally, C has to do with the rules of the sport. So every sport has rules. So if you are a high C, then you really follow the rules. So again, on the coxswain side of things, if you're a high C and the coxswain next to you starts going at a higher stroke rate, then you're going to get really mad.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a low C, you're not going to really care so much. And in fact, you might, you know, cheat a little bit on the workout because you want to win. So
yeah,
that's what the assessment does, is it kind of tells athletes kind of where they are on that, on those ranges. And what I want to try to do for them is get them to kind of own who they are.
Yeah.
because in our sport, you know, when we first start rowing, we don't know anything about it. And so we only can draw upon the experiences of the people that are upperclassmen or elite rowers. So maybe we think we have to act like them, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's who we are.
Yeah.
So that's what I use it for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, you know, to piggyback on that, because as a novice coxswain, you only have the varsity coxswains to learn from. But what I loved about this assessment and, you know, that you're saying that you teach people how to, you know, use these things as strengths as opposed to weaknesses. So, I mean, maybe you're learning from a varsity coxswain who's way different from you, but, I mean, then you just kind of come into your own and use your strengths to your advantage, just really embracing who you are as a person and what you're, you know, what you bring to the table. I love that.
And I agree, and I think that's the biggest challenge we have in our sport, at least, is that we're very secretive, at least the elite rowers are, because they don't want you to know their secrets. So, again, you only kind of have models you can draw upon. But if you're not comfortable with behaving that way, then you might not have good performances.
Yeah.
So in DISC, it's the situation times the behavior equals the result. So if the behavior and the situation calls for a certain behavior and the result is good, then you continue with that behavior.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and not only are we secretive, but we're also very competitive. So competitive plus secretive equals don't understand what my techniques are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you want to help other rowers, but you also don't want to give anything away. And I think for both of you, because both of you are coaches too, correct?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, that's right.
So again, when you're competing against each other as coxswains, you're going to act a little differently than when you're coaching your athletes, because you want all your athletes to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're actually coxing a boat and they're not, you know, you're losing, you're going to kind of change your behavior because you want to win. And,
oh, yeah.
And I think that's the biggest, sometimes coaches forget, at least I know, because I can share myself. So I took both the athlete disc and the coach disc, and I told you my coach disc, I'm a high I,
mm-hmm.
but as an athlete, I'm a high D. So those kind of are conflicting in a sense, because the high D wants to be very competitive. So when I would work out and I would erg, I would just go as hard as I can. I would kind of leave everybody in the dust.
Yeah.
But as an I, I'd want to like bring everybody with me. So when I'm coaching my athletes, sometimes I'm, you know, really being inspiring and kind of motivating them, and then all of a sudden they kind of, you know, they either question what I'm doing, and I say, you know, just do it, and then it's kind of confusing. So I think a lot of coaches sometimes put that athlete hat on, you know, they kind of go back to their old experience, and they start talking like they were as an athlete, and then the athletes actually get confused because they're saying, well, you know, first you're being nice, and now you're not being nice. I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why you're doing that.
Yeah, what happened?
And that's a good point, because I coach a master's team, and I hear that often, where, you know, sometimes we're pushing them and sometimes we're trying to bring everyone along, and it's two different approaches. And you sometimes have to think about, okay, this practice is going to be one way and the next practice is going to be a different way.
Yeah.
And it does confuse people. So I think this was helpful to see and to really hear about.
Well, what I love about you two, and I won't go too much into your profile, I don't know how secretive you two want to be, but you both are, you know, both of you are similar, but a little bit different. Sam, you're a little bit, I would say, Kate, you're a little bit more competitive than Sam, but you definitely care about your athletes. What happens sometimes is that if you're not focused on kind of being organized and focusing on the rules, you can tend to lose a little bit of that, and it may even appear to your athletes that you're not organized. And in fact, so my suggestion to you would be is if you focus a little more on being more organized and steady, then your actual competitiveness will come out naturally, and you'll actually connect to your athletes better. Sam, what you need to do a little bit more is you have to, like, one of the things that you do well sometimes is you want to make sure that all your athletes are okay, and that can kind of take away a little bit from your competitiveness. So what my suggestion is, you know, make sure your athletes are going to be okay, and then allow yourself to kind of be a little bit more competitive. It's all about energy, ladies. So, again, you know, when we perceive ourselves having to behave a certain way, we might put too much energy into, you know, either being more organized or focusing more on the rules. And I just worked with an athlete who just competed at the Crash Bees,
mm-hmm.
and I did write a blog about it. I said that the Crash Bees is kind of a conundrum.
Yeah.
Because everybody goes there and fails because
it's
just too much going on. So one of the things that DISC helps is just kind of help you eliminate some of those things that, you know, affect you or might overstimulate you.
Yeah, that's the word I was just going to use. The Crash Bees seems very overstimulating. But yeah, it's kind of like having my palm being read. I mean, that is kind of, you know, it's a Sam, it's as is kind of exactly how I am.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, we've got some questions about, tell us about your business and who you work with and, you know, how people can get involved and learn more about what you do.
Sure. I mean, so I'm based in Philadelphia and, you know, I've been a strength coach for a while. I'm independent, so I kind of work on my own. I do work with masters at Fairmount Boat Club, as I said, but I also work with high school students and collegiate athletes. I fill the gaps in their training. So every running program out there is great. But again, when a coach is managing so many athletes, you know, they might not be able to give their athletes that individual attention. So what I try to do is I try to consult and help, you know, a guy, like for example, I have a guy out of college who is trying to make the top boat. So I listen to what his training program is, and then I try to kind of help him fill the gaps that he's not getting. He's a small guy, so he shouldn't be in the top boat, but because he's working with me, he's still scratching and clawing, almost getting in there. And the coaches almost want him out of there because he shouldn't be in the boat because he's small, but he's doing all the right things. So that's the kind of stuff I do. With DISC, I've integrated that in Philadelphia, and you know, I've been a strength coach for a while. I'm independent, so I kind of work on my own. I do work with masters at Fairmount Boat Club, as I said, but I also work with high school students and collegiate athletes. I fill the gaps in their training. So every running program out there is great, but again, when a coach is managing so many athletes, you know, they might not be able to give their athletes that individual attention. So what I try to do is I try to consult and help, you know, a guy, like for example, I have a guy out of college who is trying to make the top boat. So I listen to what his training program is, and then I try to kind of help him fill the gaps that he's not getting. He's a small guy, so he shouldn't be in the top boat, but because he's working with me, he's still scratching and clawing, almost getting in there. And the coaches almost want him out of there because he shouldn't be in the boat because he's small, but he's doing all the right things. So that's the kind of stuff I do. With DISC, I've integrated that into my business because I feel like that was the missing piece with training. I mean, right. You know, you two, I could train you two, and you could come to my gym and we could work out, but then if you're not confident in what you're doing, then how are you going to go and perform well? So right. I wanted to integrate that to build that confidence.
Yeah, that's a really good piece to, you know, to bridge the gap. That's nice, and that's really awesome that you offer that to people. So I know you said that you have a blog, and I know you're definitely on Twitter. So, you know, people can definitely reach out to you in that respect. Correct?
Absolutely, yeah. And so for people that want to work with me, the great thing about the profile, I mean, you two are out West Coast.
Yeah, we're in Arizona.
How long did it take you to get your profile?
The profile...
So, you know, 24 hours.
Yeah, 24 hours. So. And yeah, so it doesn't take long. And I mean, it only took like 10, 15 minutes to fill it out. And you could do it all at your computer. And, you know, the assessment popped up. Then, you know, if you have a nice internet browser, it's, you know, it's good. So it was easy. You know, it took 24 hours.
Yeah, it was fast. Yeah, it was really fast.
And what's nice about it is, like I said, like I asked you two just to read the first part. It's pretty long, and what I want you to do is I want you to focus on your strength. I want you to be positive about who you are as coaches and coxswains. And I think we had talked a little bit earlier before the show just about, you had asked me a little bit about, you thought you wanted to know, like, how this could help a coxswain.
Yeah.
Because, again, coxswains are, you know, I think they get the shaft. You know, I could be honest. Yeah. They get the shaft because
true.
The coaches
so
are focusing
true.
On the what's that?
She said so true. Just preach it, preach it.
Yeah. So they get the shaft because the athletes, you know, their coaches are focused on the athletes. So this is a great tool for a coxswain to kind of refer back to and help them kind of, you know, if they have a bad practice, they can kind of read it over again and say, look, you know, this is who I am. This is how I operate. And even if the coach, you know, wants me to act a certain way, you know, I have to make sure that I stick with my strengths. It doesn't mean you have to not do what the coach says. It just means you have to kind of go about it a different way. So when I consult with an athlete, we kind of talk about those obstacles and those challenges they have or coxswain and talk to them about how they can kind of maneuver around that. It's difficult. You know, it is difficult, especially for a high school student. You know, they have so many other hats that they wear. You know, their social life, their family life, academics.
Yeah, and then on top of that, they have that. And what I think is interesting about, you know, that piece that you said, you know, the coxswains, they really don't have any help. And I mean, it's a hard time being a junior coxswain too, because you're coming in and you're meeting new people on a new rowing team, and they might not be your school friends, and so it's like a different group. And so they have, like you said, they do have to wear a lot of hats, and it's hard for them to feel comfortable to just be themselves and just be like, okay, I'm gonna come in here and I want to do this, and you guys have to listen to me. And but everybody else is like, well, I mean, you know, you're not that cool, so I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to listen to you.
And what's nice about that too is that the way the profile reads, it also gives you some insight on how other people behave. And
yeah.
If you, as a coxswain, if you kind of, you know, if you read this profile and you know how you don't behave, you might be able to recognize some of the behaviors of your teammates, which will allow you to communicate. So on one of the pages there, it actually talks to you about how to communicate with different behavior styles.
Yeah.
So imagine a coxswain who can say something one way to one athlete and then say it a completely different way to another athlete. They say the same thing. So if I say to my athlete, hey, I want you to put your blade in the water, you know, that's what I need you to do. But then, you know, they don't do it. That means that communication hasn't taken place. Maybe you have to say, you know, you're doing a great job, so I need you to put the blade in the water, and then all of a sudden they do that.
Yeah.
So just adding that little bit of support might be what an athlete needs to get the job done. And that can be difficult for some people. I think, would you say it's difficult for both of you?
Well, no, I mean, we've been coxing for quite a while, but I mean, when you meet new people and you do that stuff, you do have to kind of take that minute to sit back and like kind of do a behavioral assessment on that person. Like, okay, this person's pretty hot-tempered. They're not going to like me doing this and saying this. So you have to, again, you have to kind of butter them up and be like, hey, you're doing a great job. You're doing great. You're doing wonderful. You're doing this. Just make sure you put your blade in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to kind of calm them down. It's okay. We're not going to the vet. And then you show up at the vet. It's okay. Yes, I mean, it's easier now to kind of shift for me. I don't know, Kate.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's easier for me to shift into that role of like, okay, how am I looking at this person? How does this person like to be approached? But, I mean, you kind of get into that groove. We've been doing it for quite a while, so, we are in that groove. But, I mean, when I first started, it was tough. When you're sitting there, and I would cox the girls' team in high school, and then they were fine, and then I'd get a groove on that, and then my coach throws me in the boys' boat, and now I'm in a completely different universe. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't want me to butter you up and say, you're doing a great job. You want me to just yell at you. Okay. So, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
And you're right, because that's the challenge again for a coach, is that the athletes change year after year. You're not necessarily getting the same behaviors each year. And, you know, I can say, you know, in my day, I didn't act that way to the coach, but, you know, I mean,
yeah, we did.
Each generation changes a little bit. The things that they think are important change. And so this is a great way to kind of cut through all that red tape. You know, when I work with the client, I used to, you know, just ask them a million questions to find out, you know, what they're about their family, and that's me as a high coach doing that. But that might annoy the client to the fact that, like, oh, Pat's too chatty. I don't really want to train with them anymore, so now I lose a client.
Yeah.
So I had to figure out a way to connect to them faster, you know, and also keep them on task, and that's what you can do with this.
So you're like a coaching therapist.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So we're going to ask you some of our stock listener questions. What is one of the most embarrassing rowing moments? So it could happen to you, or it could happen to somebody else if you're just like, wow, mine's really embarrassing. I don't want anybody to know about it.
Well, I wouldn't say it was embarrassing, but I would definitely say the Snowflake Regatta. Is it either a year or 2 years ago?
Oh, no.
If you want to watch it on YouTube, it was
so
kind of like, wow, I'm really glad I wasn't coaching that at that regatta. And, you know, for me, watching that video, you know, a lot of people kind of poke fun. For me, it was more like, oh, as a, you know, I've been a director of camps and a coach of camps, and I'm just like, oh, I would just make sure my athletes did not do what those athletes did. And like I said, I felt bad for all the athletes. I'm sure they just kind of lost. So I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. That's the regatta where all the kids were stuck on the course and everything.
Yeah, if you have not seen this video on YouTube, it is pretty phenomenal to watch. It is like one boat after another getting off track, and all of a sudden it was like a pile up on a highway in a snowstorm. It was pretty bad.
Ugh.
Terrible. It was good humor. Although, yeah, as a coach, you start going, oh, thank God that wasn't my team that did that. And
I know this is something
we want to make everyone watch.
And unfortunately, you know, the parents caught it on video and it just kept going. And I was like, stop this video. Please stop it.
So.
And then, Patrick, I know that you've got a pretty colorful rowing background, but do you still have all of your medals? And if so, where do you keep them?
They're in my basement in a bin, and someday I will bring, I'll bring them out to show my two daughters. I have two daughters, six Aww. And three. Any medal I've won since then, I've just given to my daughters so they can wear them as necklaces when they do dress up as princesses.
Oh, that's cute.
That's what they're for now. I'll keep them and maybe display them someday when I have an office, but I don't have an office.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we thank you so much for your time. Patrick, we know everybody can find you on Twitter. It's Rufo Optimal Workouts, but I believe it's just @Row LLC.
It's at Twitter. It's ROW LLC. And then my website is Rufo, that's RUFO, Optimal Workouts, all one word together, .com. And then definitely try to connect with me on Facebook. I do a blog once a week. And actually, ladies, I'm doing one in honor of the Croxons either today, later tonight or tomorrow. So I will definitely pass that along. It's a tribute to Croxons for your listeners.
Thank you.
You inspired me when you reached out to me, so I said I have to write something for them.
Fantastic. Thank you. We love that. That's so nice. Thank you. And we'll definitely send us a link to that later. We'll definitely put that on our social media as well.
Well, thank you so much.
No problem.
And one more thing. I'm having a seminar, actually, in April for Coxswains. It's going to be in Philadelphia, and it's going to be about discs. So if there are Coxswains in the Philadelphia area that really want to kind of find out more about themselves, then they can definitely check out the seminar. The information's on the website and on Facebook.
Awesome. That's a really great opportunity. So in Philly, if you guys are out there, go check them out. Thank you so much, Patrick, for joining us today. We really appreciate it. We really love the conversation, and we're looking forward to seeing more from you.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So that's Rufo Optimal Workouts. It's fun to hear about, and it was really cool to do this. I will take a look and dive in more in detail and figure out what makes us tick.
Yeah, I definitely really loved all that stuff, and I liked all the piece that he was talking about, just really embracing yourself and being yourself. I know that a lot of the times, you know, people, coxswains are the punching bag. They are the butt of the joke. It's easy to blame the coxswain if something's going wrong with
the snowflake regatta.
But I mean, just like, guys.
Actually, I think those weren't cox boats.
That wasn't cox boats. It was fine. Oh. But no, just go easy on each other. Don't go easy on the coxswains. Go easy on each other. Use everybody's strengths as what they are intended for. So if you're a novice coxswain and you're coxing a varsity boat, like varsity guys, just like be cool and realize that this person is new and they're trying really hard and give them tips, help them out. Be like, hey, it really helps if you just scream at us. That'd be awesome. And then just teach them, like, give them the confidence, boost them up, let them be themselves, like let them be new, let them learn.
Yeah.
That's my two cents, and that's the gospel of Sam.
That sounds pretty good, Sam. Yeah. So if you are a coxswain in the Philadelphia, Southern New Jersey, Delaware area, you can check out Patrick's seminar. And if you are not following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, how can they do it, Sam?
They better do it, because you just go on @shortandsnarkyrowing on Instagram, @shortandsnarky on Twitter, and shortandsnarkycoxswains on Facebook. Get our book on Amazon.com.
Now's the time to buy it.
Yeah, it is. Spring season is coming. And if you like us, if you like our podcast, please, please keep listening, and also please subscribe and like us, rate us, review us, all that wonderful stuff. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, I have a cool guest for you, or I just want to tell you about my day, shortandsnarkyrowing@gmail.com, and we will see you on the water.
Thanks for listening.
Last two strokes. That's one, two. Way enough. Let it run. Blades down.